It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, there it is. Here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. A big Thursday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not losing the Hispanic vote. Check it out. Joe Biden plummeting in the polls with Latinos in an unprecedented position where he now trails Donald Trump with Latino voters.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
The full-fledged pandering effort has begun. We will play you some of the clips in this hour because Biden spoke to an audience of Hispanic voters in Arizona yesterday.
I don't remember that ever happening.
Well, it did, and we will get everybody up to speed on a busy Thursday. Jesse Waters is going to be here. He is, of course, the host of Jesse Waters Primetime. He's got a new book out. He wants to talk about it. He wants to talk about the 2024 election. He's a passionate man, that Waters. It's not all toupees and fancy suits. You know, you also get on and you have things to say. So we'll get into that with Jesse. Byron Donalds, man who was in the chamber yesterday for the testimony of Hunter Biden's business partner, Tony Bobulinski.
Hunter's a dirtbag.
A lot of people feel that way. I don't think the testimony did anything to dissuade them. BD had a lot of choice cuts. If you were watching the sound clips, we'll get into some of them, and we will, of course, get his take. And this thing ends with Diamond Dave Landau, comedy super hunk, making his triumphant return to the show. The kids love some Diamond Dave, and you should know he will be on my Saturday Night TV show next Saturday Night. He's been traveling. He's been doing the road. Diamond Dave is a guy who was on the very first episode of that show. I think that highly of the guy. So if you haven't seen him in a few weeks, we're not going through like a Hall and Oates where they're like fighting behind closed door, you know.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
No, ma'am. We're still out there singing Man Eater every night. Although in this day and age, it is called Them Eater. You got to be sensitive. You can't just assume the pronouns of the eater. You understand? It's a different country now.
Hell is the world coming to?
I don't know, but the presidency is coming to an end for Joe Biden if he doesn't turn around the Latino vote. He's already hemorrhaging major support with male black voters. We've been covering this at great, you know, length because the key constituents that get Biden over the top are minorities. That's who traditionally votes Democrats because the Democrats are selling this mantra of, you know, vote for us because everybody else is a racist. And the deck here is stacked, so just count on Washington, D.C. to solve all your problems.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of course not, and people do feel infantilized when they're talked down to by a government that tells them you can't do it yourself. You think of how much the Democrats have pivoted since Barack Obama was a president. Barack Obama ran on yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Of course we can. Now Joe Biden's in there telling you, you can't even get a voter ID if you're a minority. You're so incapable. This would restrict your voting access worse than Jim Crow.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
So you've got the, you know, I don't want to call it a soft bigotry of low expectations. It sounds a lot like a hard bigotry. When you say asking someone to get a voter ID, something 100% of society has, save for migrants. Okay, when you're saying that asking them to get a voter ID is going to deny them access in ways that is more restrictive than burning down houses or violently assaulting people so they don't vote. I mean, come on, man. Okay, it's embarrassing. But understand, the black vote isn't turning out to be told, no, we can't. That doesn't galvanize support. You know, when you leave the border open, when you're the face of a party that wants to defund police and in some cases cut the police budgets in major municipalities, okay, you kept schools closed to appease your friends in the teachers' unions, the folks who get the bill for that, the black community.
Bingo, man, bingo.
They're the ones that have been screwed the hardest by Biden's policies, whether it's the border, whether it's inflation, okay, or anything going on in the foreign policy sector right now where we're spending, you know, another $90 billion on Ukraine this month. But are we doing anything for those inner cities that Biden and the Democrats purport to care about?
The answer would be no.
70% of kids in this country right now who go to an inner city school cannot read at a grade level, meaning they are not academically fit enough to move on to the next grade, yet we're passing them along anyway and just pretending everything's okay.
I love the poorly educated.
Well, if you do, you are in luck. But understand, Biden's losing the black vote because he really has crushed that community with his policies. Why is he losing a lot of the Hispanic vote? Because a good percentage of that community migrated to this country legally. And they really resent the fact that so many people have now been allowed to cut the line. 10 million people under this president, when you combine the ones we know of and the ones who got away, Joe Biden has let 10 million people into the country.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
None at all. But understand this. Okay, there's nobody out there saying don't come. We're all saying come legally. Okay, but when the Biden administration tries to pivot to, well, it's, you know, we wouldn't have this problem if the Republicans would fix the broken immigration system. Okay, we know that's not true. Why? Because the immigration process was the same under Donald Trump, yet the migrant numbers were 10 million fewer. Why is that? Because they don't come based on processing speed. They come based on whether or not they're getting into the country.
Bingo.
Okay, they're coming to our border because we're letting them in. Drug cartels have turned our border into a $2 billion human trafficking industry because they're getting in. They can charge people bounties. They can move fentanyl. They can traffic children. It's all happening because of the lax border policy. And understand, a lot of Hispanic voters resent it because it's starting to resemble, in a lot of ways, the very countries they fled.
He knows what he's talking about.
So here are, this is so funny, Arizona Latinos being interviewed yesterday by CBS. And CBS wants to know, is democracy on the ballot in 2024? A pretend issue nobody cares about. Trump isn't vowing to end elections. And if Trump is supposed to be an existential threat because he claimed an election was stolen, then you have to ban every single Democrat in Washington right now because they all said the 2016 election was stolen. They also said the 2004 election was stolen in Ohio by George W. Bush. They also said the 2000 election was stolen by George W. Bush in the state of Florida over Al Gore. So you don't understand, the last three times the Democrats have lost a general election, they've claimed the election was stolen. But when Trump turned around and said it was stolen, which, again, I don't support if you don't have actual proof. Yes, we voted in an unprecedented manner. Yes, the Democrats demonstrated that nothing was beneath them when it came to stopping this man. But the idea, okay, that you go out and do it without the physical proof, for me, I think really does tarnish things a little bit. That being said, there's this other part of me that completely understands why Trump would not take anything at face value when it comes from these Democrats.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, nothing has been beneath them. Okay, again, in the summer of 2020, they told you we were systemically racist, so it was okay that people were burning down police stations. Kamala Harris encouraged people to bail them out. The tweet's still up to this day. Okay, they told you Trump was controlled by the Kremlin, that Russia had seized control of our government.
It was made up by these sick people.
Yeah, they want you to believe the right's a bunch of conspiracy theorists. They actually told you Russia was in charge of America. I mean, come on, man. But when I say nothing's beneath them, think back to the summer of 2020. The Democrats ultimately mandated that you get the vaccine, or they fired you from your job. Yet while they were campaigning, okay, because they believed in the vaccine that much when they got into power, and to be clear, they didn't believe in the vaccine, they believed in the big pharmaceutical money. Okay, that big paycheck.
Money, 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 money.
Okay, but the point is, they were now mandating that you get this vaccine or they will fire you from your job. You were a cop, you were a soldier, you were a nurse, they will fire you. Okay, but back to the nothing's beneath them on the campaign trail. On the campaign trail, they were telling you the very vaccine they mandated was a piece of junk.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up.
Think about that. That's Joe Biden. Okay? And that very vaccine, that very, who the hell's going to take this thing? Are you going to take it? You going to want to say, sign me up? Okay, and then the minute he got into office, he turned around and mandated it.
That's just how white folks will do you.
But of course, he mandated it, but not before saying he wouldn't mandate it.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory. But
think about that for a second. So you understand nothing's beneath them, but when it comes to their priorities are winning elections. And when they say things like democracy's on the ballot, democracy's on the ballot is not a deliverable if you can't pay your bills. It's not a deliverable if your streets aren't safe. It's not a deliverable if your kid's school is failing. All of which are happening to members of the Latino community. So here is CBS trotting out the Democratic agenda. This is the Democratic sales pitch. So they're going out there and essentially learning a very hard lesson that nobody, and I mean nobody, cares about any of the things that the liberal media is pushing.
That is correct.
And if you don't believe me, ask these folks, clip four.
President Biden has called Trump a threat to democracy and made it a central part of his campaign.
Is democracy on the ballot in 2024?
I don't buy that, are you?
I don't either.
I mean, to me now it's just another talking point. Every time I hear it, I just kind of tune it out.
I know.
It's something that, you know, some focus group came up with, and now they're just using it to death.
I really don't think they understand what democracy is when they say that. You know, the fact that there is a ballot is democracy.
Democracy's on the ballot, said the people who literally tried to take their opponent off the actual ballot.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Okay, I don't doubt that democracy is in danger if the Democrats lose, because they're going to say it was stolen again. They're going to riot. They're going to say Russia took it over. We're all a bunch of white supremacists. Here's a little more, okay? Fox and Friends. This time not on CBS. Fox and Friends is talking to a group about, okay, the Democrats and the fact that they're prioritizing things like identity instead of well-being. Clip five.
They're pandering to us. For instance, Latinos spend over half of their income on basic necessities such as food, energy, housing. This is causing us to be disproportionately hurt by inflation more than any other racial group. And I mean, you can hear it in their rhetoric that they don't take it seriously. And these essential categories have experienced inflation rates that are even greater than average, leaving us really nowhere to turn for savings and preparing for the next generation.
Come on, man.
Nope. This is why you see polls like USA Today Suffolk poll that has Trump beating Biden 39-34. Do you understand what a swing? That's a 60-point swing from the last election. Then you get a New York Times Siena poll, okay, where Trump's beating him 46-40. Guys, that's a tremendous, unprecedented swing. But it shouldn't be shocking when you understand what the priorities of this administration are. What are they prioritizing? Climate change? Climate change. Hey, I know you can't pay your bills, the streets aren't safe, and your kid can't read, but the weather's going to do something in 50 years.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
That's what they're doing. Climate change, democracy's on the ballot, Trump's a white supremacist. Nothing that's real. Nothing that anyone in their right mind believes. Okay, here's a little more. This is Moses Sanchez on Fox and Friends First, clip six.
It's a problem that the Democrat Party really has here in Arizona. They're just out of touch with everyday Arizonans, everyday Latinos, everyday Americans. They're not focused on the issues that actually matter, like economic stability, crime, public safety, supporting small businesses, reducing inflation. Those are the things that actually impact hardworking Latinos every day. And the Latinos come Biden, they're going to have to do a lot of work to overcome that hurdle.
I mean, think about it. When you list what they prioritize, okay, economic stability, crime, public safety, small businesses, reducing inflation. Is any of that climate change? Is any of it, I don't know, protecting democracy? Is any of that telling your child he or she is trapped in the wrong body? How about unlimited abortion rights? Did you hear it in there? Do you understand the Democrats are prioritizing literally everything? Okay, literally everything. But what voters care about.
you're absolutely right.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts. Might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T testosterone booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There it is. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Karen is on the front lines of this migration problem. She's out in San Diego, California. She joins us now. Karen.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, girl.
We're here again.
I know.
We're here again. It's getting worse.
Getting the band back together. But yeah, it's so crazy by you, because, you know, Abbott, to his credit, is trying to fight at the Texas border to actually enforce the laws of the land. But your guy is, like, handing out sex changes. I don't even know what Newsom's doing. What is he doing?
I don't know. He's an idiot. That's all I got to say. I don't know who voted for him. It wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't me.
I've got to be polite, but, you know, completely. We have tent cities popping up in our little city here. I grew up in Chula Vista.
That's crazy.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere. We're having an issue here with squatters, where there's a migrant who posted a TikTok video showing people how to break into houses in New York and just live in them, because our squatters laws make it impossible to evict somebody. They have more rights than the owner of the home. Like, doesn't it kind of blow your mind that, you know, because politicians used to pretend to care. Okay, they're not pretending to care when it comes to this issue.
No, absolutely not. They don't care. They've been sold the favor. Mm-hmm. Campaign donors. Special interest, dictators around the world, they've been sold out completely.
A lot of people feel that way. They feel like there's this, like, actual indifference to the harm they're doing. It really is, like, bonkers. But
forgot their job, who they work for.
But you know what's funny? The irony here is that it is Hispanic voters. It is Latinos that are going to force them to course correct, because they resent this more than anybody, because they came here legally.
Yeah, grew up for generations here like everybody else.
Yep. And now they just see people.
My friends.
Yep.
Well, my grand Hispanic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people say, well, you're racist. Of course, that wonderful word comes up. This is all about democracy. No, it's not. We're a sovereign nation. There is no nation in this world that you can walk across their borders without any paperwork.
Yep.
Without having a passport. Mm-hmm. I ask American people all the time, can you go anywhere without a passport?
Nope.
They're mandating that here in California, you have to get a new license so you can even fly domestically.
Yep. They want you to get the real ID.
It's out of control.
Yep.
The real ID is so that you can go just anywhere domestically in your own country.
Yep. Well,
and to prove who you are, what is going on?
Well, if you get to the airport and they won't let you board, just tell them it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm undocumented. I have no papers. And they'll be like, oh, in that case.
Hey, please give me everything. Everything the federal government is going to give. It's what? It's taxpayers. It's hardworking Americans that are paying for everything. So everything that Donald Trump said, they're not after me, which they are after him. Mm-hmm. They're after us.
It ain't right, Karen. Now you got me all worked up, and I got to go do 2.5 more hours of the show. Thanks for nothing. No, we love you, babe. Be good. We're back after this. Here it is in a nutshell. Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. Matthew Continetti was on Special Report last night with the great Brett Baer, and he laid down this new coalition of voters who are abandoning the Democratic Party. It is clip 7.
I think there is a concern, Brett. I think we saw in some of the results in the brief Republican primary that there are some Republicans and some Trump-leaning independents who are wary of voting for Donald Trump in 2024. But I will say this, they seem to be replaced by new voters, non-college-educated minority voters, primarily Hispanic voters, who are now abandoning the Democratic Party in droves and backing Trump for president. So you can see that while the old-style Republicans may be wary of Trump or may even be exiting the party in some cases, they're being backfilled by new voters, a new Trump coalition that I think stands a pretty good chance of success in November.
So you think about that, okay? You can tell me there's a Nikki Haley wing that's never Trump. You know, there's those, you know, they're kind of like Romney Democrats, you know, so to speak, that aren't going to vote for Trump no matter what. But here's a newsflash. Because of the mismanagement of our southern border, a lot of Latino voters are migrating over to the Republican side of the aisle. I'm talking people who came to this country legally and really resent what's happening. Juan is on the line. He knows all about it. He's in Wilmington, North Carolina. Yo, Juan.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing?
I'm doing, man. But you're kind of like our ambassador to this topic because you migrated here from Cuba, didn't you?
Yeah, I came in 1962. My father was a political prisoner. We came here legally. I'm a Cuban-American.
Wow.
I went through college, med school, U.S. Army, Stanford Business School, private practice, three daughters through college, three weddings,
wow,
and now I'm retired. I am the American dream,
you're
and no
right.
one gave me nothing.
Yep.
And legal immigrants here are not in favor of this illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm. And
because
they should...
people had to wait their time. It took me 6 years to get my green card, and then after that, we had to apply for our citizenship, and I had to take an exam and all that about U.S. history and all that.
Yeah.
So I think everybody who comes to this country should do this the legal way, in fairness to all.
Yes, and the truth is, making people do it the legal way is more empathetic, because if you buy into the system and you do for yourself and you utilize what you described accurately as the American dream— you can do great things. If you just bring people into the country illegally, hand them stuff, and don't ask them to contribute, you're actually setting them up for long-term failure. But the Democrats like that because long-term failure means government subsidy, and government subsidy means dependable voters.
Exactly. It's the same thing now that they're trying to pay for college loans. Am I going to get reparations for my college loan and everybody else who paid theirs? That's interesting.
not a dime. Not a penny.
I got one thing to say before I go, mm-hmm, because you know what I'm doing right now, and I was listening to your show. I said, oh, I got to call Jimmy. I'm here sitting here in North Carolina eating barbecue ribs with coleslaw, baked beans, and a nice cold beer.
Oh, good for you. What a kick in the nuts this call was, Juan.
He's got to come to North Carolina one day.
Do I ever. I got either North Carolina or I got to quit TV. I could be eating ribs in an hour if I get off this damn TV. Oh, Juan.
Your show was awesome as usual. Every week it gets better, brother. Congratulations. Talk to you soon.
Well, thanks, buddy. There he goes, Juan, who just really punched me in the soul with that barbecue reference. Oh, Juan, you're killing me, man. Oh, man. I can't, nothing I can do about it. I can't have the barbecue. I was at Wardrobe yesterday for a fitting. I walked in and Manny was like,
you're killing yourself the way you eat. You're a fat look at you.
I mean, they're rough on me. They beat me up, but it's all right. You know, you got to hold it together for the telly. You heard Juan say it. It's a fantastic Saturday night show. It's number one in the ratings. We're having a good time. And you have to know as you listen to the show that I eat really well. Don't think I'm like being starved. To be clear, does anyone look at me and think I'm being starved?
The answer would be no.
I just don't eat at the level that I once did. Meaning, you know, I eat like someone who's circus fat. You know, like me and Lincoln used to watch the show My 600-Pound Life, but we actually got bored because we didn't really think they ate that much. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, comparative to what we eat at my mom's on a Sunday, the people on My 600-Pound Life are, like, fasting. Like, for real, we were throwing down food on that level. And, you know, it's, like, slightly more moderated now because I'm on TV. But the reason I just never stop talking about it, and I apologize, is because I live for food. That's, you know, I always joke that Fox had to pay a guy to knock the food out of my hand and all of that stuff. Like, I'm half telling you the truth because, oh, man, they saw me on TV the first time and they were like,
that boy is a P-I-G pig.
But he's having a good time. It's a happy pig. It's a feel-good pig. It's a good mood pig is the point I'm trying to make. But when you hear that the Latino voters are abandoning the Democratic Party, let me get back on message. Juan, enjoy the beer and the barbecue, you bastard. He really sidelined the champ. That was a body blow. But when you see that the Democrats are losing so much support in the Hispanic community, which is backfilling any minor peel off for Trump. I mean, you understand, Trump is polling within his own party at close to like 90%. You know where Biden's polling in his party? In the low 60s. So that's significant. That's millions and millions of people in your own party. It's a lot harder to peel off Republican support right now than it is to peel off Democrat support. Okay, like when you look at these people, the folks that are solidly behind Trump are much greater than the folks that are solidly behind Biden.
That's true. That is true.
Which is one of the reasons the Democrats are now investing so much money in this third-party candidate deal. So the DNC, okay, is now essentially forming its own specialty group that's going to police the ability to keep third-party candidates off the ballot. Do you remember the whole democracy's on the ballot in 2024? That's what Democrats want to tell you. Democracy's on the ballot. They're policing voter access. This is according to the New York Times. Okay, this is not according to me. It's not according to, like, you know, not like a shock jock right-wing talk show host who's trying to get you worked up or just accuse the other party of underhanded dealings. Believe me, there's plenty of underhanded dealings in both parties. I'm aware. But the New York Times is reporting that the Democratic National Committee is forming a group of lawyers to monitor how third-party contenders seek ballot access. Translation, they are going to challenge their access to the ballot.
That is correct.
Okay, why? Because they feel like third-party candidates hurt Democrats. Okay, the DNC's legal group is organizing local lawyers across the country, as well as field teams, research, and analytics to monitor ballot access. Candidates' efforts will be watched to guarantee to the degree that you are seeking status as a new political party, you are actually a political party, a large group of people who believe what you believe, not simply a single candidate wanting to circumvent existing rules. So this is what the Democrats are doing. You know how they don't want any verification when it comes to voting? Can't have voter ID. What do you mean? That's racist. That's Jim Crow. You can't have signature verification on a ballot. What do you mean? That's racist, discriminatory. Black people don't know how to sign their name. Okay, that's the approach they take to this. Okay, they want unlimited access to the ballot for voters, but they want very limited access for candidates. You see what's going on here? This is not democracy being on the ballot. This is the Democrats wanting to put the strictest guidelines over who you can and can't vote for. Guys, they tried to remove Trump from the ballot in Colorado and Maine. The Supreme Court had to get involved to keep him on the ticket. Okay, these are not people that are looking to win a fair fight. These are people that are hitting you with everything. I'm 47. If you grew up in the 80s, there was a video game called Double Dragon. Guy in a red leather jumpsuit or a guy in a blue leather jumpsuit. Two blonde-haired dudes. It was a gang-fighting video game. It's pretty far out. But the hook of Double Dragon is we had boxing games, you had sword-fighting games, you know, Dragon Slayer. You know, you had Punch-Out. There were games in the arcade where you could beat each other up or shoot at each other. You had Contra with the little cheat codes. But understand, Okay, we never had a game like Double Dragon where you were gang fighting. You could hit a guy with a barrel. You could hit him with a chain, piece of fence, a wrench, anything you could think of. That's what Double Dragon was. When it comes to Donald Trump, the Democrats are playing Double Dragon. Okay, we'll restrict the ballot access. We'll indict him in court. We'll distort his language. Okay, we'll call him a white supremacist. He's anti-Semitic. Anything you can think of. They're hitting him with everything imaginable except their record. They can't look you in the face and go, hey, we're just better for the country. That's not what they're doing here. They're just telling you he's worse. Yeah, we suck, but he's worse. I mean, don't get me wrong. We did good things. We spent a lot of money on the climate. Nobody asked us to. That's where they find themselves in this moment. So they're losing support. They're going after third-party candidates. Other Republicans trying to deny RFK Jr. access to the ballot?
The answer would be no.
No, because they're not worried about losing their support. Okay, but the Democrats are going to go out and spend tens of millions of dollars to make sure there is a minimal amount of ballot access, specifically in the key states. Biden loses a lot of the battleground states right now. He's losing pretty much all of them without beyond the margin of error. So the last thing they need is ballot access. In a place like Georgia or Arizona that RFK Jr. has already been granted ballot access, they need to deny it in the other parts of the country because they can't risk them losing a single solitary vote when you've got a candidate as historically unpopular as theirs. I mean, here's a Biden clip that I wanted to play because it's so fascinating. Okay, this is Biden out in Phoenix, Arizona, begging them, saying, we need your help. Here it is, clip two.
We achieved the lowest unemployment rate for Latinos in a long, long time. We cut Hispanic child poverty to record lows. We lowered health care costs. We made historic investments in Latino small businesses, and we addressed gun violence in the communities. You're the reason why, in large part, I beat Donald Trump. Yes.
Let's beat him again.
Kamala and I desperately need your help.
Oh, I mean, dude.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Kamala and I desperately need your help.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha-ha!
Nothing that he just said, nothing, okay, is accurate as stated. They lowered health care costs? Has anyone's health care costs gone down since 2012? Not a single solitary human being, okay? We cut Hispanic child poverty to record lows. You know how they did that, by the way? You know how they cut child poverty in this country? Because Kevin Walling, my good friend, loves to come on. That's his big deliverable. He's like, oh, you look at the Biden administration. We cut child poverty. You know how they did it? They didn't give people more money, okay? They lowered the standard that determines whether or not you're above or below the poverty level.
This is politics as usual.
So, I mean, you think of it, if I was giving it to you in raw dollars, say they were like, anyone who has $1,000 to their name or more, okay, you know, or less, anyone who has $1,000 to name or less is living in poverty. Okay, but what they did is they lowered the number down to $500. And then they said anybody who's got $500 or less is living in poverty. So by default, those other people who were living in poverty, nothing improved in their overall quality of life except for how we measure poverty.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
Because, again, they don't care about the people. They care about the politics. So he can say we cut child poverty in half because they did. They cut the threshold in half. They lowered it. So when they say something to you like, oh, we lowered child poverty, they didn't elevate anyone's quality of life. They didn't boost household wealth. There are more poor kids than ever. They've just changed the constitution of what constitutes poor.
That's not right.
Bananas. Okay, but this is what you're dealing with. People who have this craven obsession with power. They want to be in charge. This is what you can drive. This is the kind of stove you can use. This is the kind of light bulb you can have. Okay, this is the vaccine you have to take. Not, you know, I know we like to say our body, our choice when it comes to abortion. But when it comes to a vaccine that doesn't work, it's your body, our choice. They want to be in control. Get Trump off the ballot. Give us the guns. Okay, they want all of it. Okay, they want to be in control. That's who they are. We all know these people growing up. Separate politics from the analysis. You have friends growing up that just wanted to be in charge. You know, they bring it's their ball at the schoolyard. I make all the rules. It's my football. You know those people. Okay, that's who they are. They just want to be in charge of your life. No matter what type of principle they might be abandoning to do it. Okay, as long as it ends with them in charge, they're happy. Okay, the problem is they're fighting so hard to control everything. There's not going to be anything left to be in charge of by the time they're actually done.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. You're right.
The show that sees through the bullshit.
My response is right, you know, and the stripper really likes you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Here's one more note. It's CNN summing up Biden's poll situation with Latinos.
So, you know, you might think, you know, that Hispanic voters might be the types of folks who would have a backlash against Donald Trump's remarks, right? Ain't the case. If you ask Hispanic voters, who do they trust more on border security and immigration? Overwhelmingly, they trust Donald Trump more by a tremendous margin. Look at that, 49% to 24%. And that is in line with what we're seeing in the polls in general amongst Hispanics, right? Joe Biden won them overwhelmingly back in 2020, won them by over 20 percentage points. Democrats normally carry them overwhelmingly. If you look at the polling right now, and an average of polling amongst Hispanic voters, who do they choose in the ballot test? It's barely Biden, about Biden by about 2 points. It would be the smallest margin for any Democratic candidate among Hispanic voters basically throughout history since we started polling the gosh darn thing.
So think about that, okay? The swing from Trump to Biden is so overwhelming. And what CNN is trying to tell you, it's, well, you know, you'd think Hispanics would be against Trump, given his rhetoric towards Hispanics.
Wrong.
Okay, understand, Trump is not attacking Hispanics. He's attacking illegal immigrants.
Tell him like it is.
Okay, that's what he's not saying. Okay, don't let Hispanics in. We don't like Hispanics. No, he's saying the people like Lincoln Riley's murderer are bad. The people like the drug cartels smuggling fentanyl into our country and killing our kids are bad. He's saying keeping the border open lets them in. Shutting the border down is what actually keeps them out.
Correct the mundo.
That's all he's saying. He's not saying, oh, we hate Hispanics. But do you see the way the Democrats have been living in this fantasy world where you can conflate criticism of one thing as criticism of its entire body? Okay, that's how they sold 2016. They said Trump claimed that all Mexicans are drug dealers and rapists.
That is a fact check false.
He didn't say that. He said, Mexico, I don't believe they're sending their best. They're sending drugs, they're sending crime, they're sending rapists, and the rest, I assume, are good people. Okay? It's not an ideal soundbite. I got to be honest. Not an ideal soundbite.
I admire your honesty.
Well, no, you need to be. But at the same time, it's not every single Mexican is a drug dealer and a racist. So what the Democrats are finding out is they were able to get away with lying for a long time because people were reading the headline instead of the article. Okay, but now when, you know, your border's worse, your economy's worse, your school's worse, your crime's worse, you start to look a little bit further into the details, and you come to realize that when it comes to the issue...
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is, and we are fired up in this hour. Chat with Byron Donalds. He's, of course, in the chamber yesterday on Capitol Hill as Hunter Biden's former business partner, Tony Bobulinski, testified that the big guy is the current occupant of the Oval Office.
Are you the big man, Joe?
Tony Bobulinski said yes. Byron Donalds, at the very least, laid out a detailed explanation of how Biden had to have known that his son was getting money from the communist Chinese government, from CEFC, okay, and everything in between. We'll go over it. I'll play you the clips. We'll have a grown-up talk. You can agree. You can disagree. It doesn't really matter. I'm not doing an activist talk show or a conservative talk show. I'm doing an American talk show.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. We begin really quickly with a quick synopsis of what went down. So Tony Bobulinski is there yesterday to have a public hearing, something Hunter Biden claimed he was in favor of. Now, if you remember the way this fiasco started, the Republicans wanted Hunter Biden to come in for closed door testimony. And he was like, I'm not going to let you leak. I'm not going to let you distort. I'm only going to do a public testimony. OK, but then when it was time for the public testimony, he didn't make it. Something about, I don't know, I'm not comfortable, these guys aren't being on it.
That is absolutely the most ridiculous excuse I have ever heard in my entire career as a disciplinarian.
They're basically just trying to run clock now and keep this story out of the headlines as much as humanly possible. I don't know that Hunter Biden's going to jail. I'm not telling you Joe Biden's getting impeached and thrown out of office, but it's a really bad look for them that Biden was caught lying as many times as he was. And understand, you don't have to lie on that level. You don't have to lie on that level if you did things right.
That's true. That is true.
The reason you lie about whether or not you talked to your son about his business dealings is because you were involved in them and you know you're not supposed to be. The reason you lie about whether or not you met with your son's business partners is because you did and you're not supposed to. The reason you lie about whether or not you got money, okay, is because you did and you're supposed to.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
But you don't have to have a good eye to know this. Okay, if Joe Biden's never talked to his son about his businesses, he has every reason to say he didn't do it. Okay, but if he has talked about his business but done nothing wrong, nothing at all, he can also afford to be honest.
Bingo, man, bingo.
Okay, the reason he's being dishonest is because there's a behavior in there he doesn't want you to uncover.
Bingo.
That's what you got to understand. Okay, they started this in an election year as there is no business. There is no laptop. It's Russian disinformation. I've never talked to the kid about the business. I don't even know about his business partners. Every one of those things proved to be a lie. So as Tony Bobulinski is there yesterday, what the Democrats are trying to do is discredit him and run clock, debate every word out of his mouth, keep him from speaking, and try to cartoon him in the news cycle, at least in the liberal networks anyway, as some kind of lunatic right-wing activist who's like a MAGA supporter who would probably be storming the Capitol if it wasn't so secure that day. Listen to AOC try to stop him from detailing the crimes he believes Biden committed. Clip 8.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy?
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
I answered the question. No. RICO, you're obviously not familiar with.
RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the
it's a category of crimes that you're then charged
you under. Have charged. I reclaim my time.
I mean, AOC. Straight clown stuff. Because she doesn't understand the laws. RICO is not a crime, she said. I mean, do you know what Donald Trump was charged with by Fannie Willis? Are you ready for it? RICO. Here it is, clip 9.
Every individual charged in the indictment is charged with one count of violating Georgia's Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act through participation in a criminal enterprise in Fulton County, Georgia, and elsewhere to accomplish the illegal goal of allowing Donald J. Trump to seize the presidential term of office.
Do you know what Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act is? RICO. That's exactly what he was charged with.
AOC is a dope.
Okay. Here is Bobulinski, though, laying it down, clip 10.
I want to be crystal clear. From my direct personal experience and what I've subsequently come to learn, it is clear to me that Joe Biden was the brand being sold by the Biden family. Joe Biden was more than a participant in and a beneficiary of his family's business. He was an active, aware enabler who met with business associates such as myself to further the business, despite being buffered by a complex scheme to maintain plausible deniability.
So that's Bob Alinsky telling you straight up, okay? Biden was aware, called into meetings, met with associates, knew how the game was played. Of course he did. This is what it always comes back to again and again and again, just so we're on the same page. Hunter Biden is getting tens of millions of dollars from companies that work in industries he has no background in. So do you think they just called him up out of nowhere and was like, hey, here's a pile of money? Or do you think they called him up and said, here's a pile of money if you can connect us to your father who's sitting in the government we happen to be negotiating with? I think we all know the answer. Okay, I've said this to you before. A Ukrainian power company on the other side of the world is not sitting around and going, you know what would help with business? There's a guy out in L.A. who just got kicked out of the Chateau Marmont for doing too many drugs, couldn't pay his hooker bills. Okay, the hotel that kicked out this guy is the hotel that allowed Jim Morrison to stay. He was doing more drugs than Jim Morrison. This is where John Belushi OD'd and died. Okay, he's doing more drugs than that. This was a bridge too far, though. No, we can't have this guy in here, though, with the hookers, the parties. It's crazy. We need to get that guy on our energy board. Okay, do you honestly believe a Ukrainian power company was sitting around and just wondering how to boost business and was like, we should go find out who's getting kicked out of the hotels in Hollywood? Does anyone with a straight face think that was the case?
The answer would be no.
Of course not. They seeked out Hunter Biden because his dad was the sitting vice president of the United States and they wanted favorable status within our government they were negotiating with. So they didn't pay Joe and directly break the law. They laundered it through Hunter and other shell companies. That's how it went down. Byron Donalds is going to talk to us and lay it down for you. Okay, here it is, clip 11.
In your experience, did President Biden play a more active or passive role in his son Hunter Biden's business dealings?
I quantified it previously as he was the he acted sort of like a chairman. He showed up and shook
hands. He's been called the chairman.
Yeah, he showed up, shook hands, and that's all the Chinese, Ukrainians, Romanians, Russians, whoever it was need. It's not what the Canadians, the Australians, and Americans need, but in those parts of the world, that's what they need.
So there you go. Okay, and I'll give you a little more. I mean, this is sworn testimony from a guy who wore the uniform of our military and testifies under the threat of perjury. He swears that this stuff is true. Okay, here's a little more Bob Alinsky, clip 13.
Moreover, you testified that Hunter was not shy about his ability to get his father on the phone. And Devin Archer testified that there were multiple instances in which Hunter placed his dad on speakerphone. Mr. Bob Alinsky, was Hunter Biden telling the truth when he testified under oath that his father was never involved in any of his business dealings?
No, he was not. Those are all blatant lies.
So understand that, okay? They are all blatant lies. That doesn't mean he's going to get impeached. It doesn't mean they're going to go to jail. It just means they lied. It just means they're, you know, compromised to some extent. They were peddling influence on behalf of our government. It's treasonous. It's something you'd die in prison for doing if you were a Republican or not a member of the D.C. establishment. But it's just something they did. Like, that is a reality. But I'm only having this conversation because I want everyone listening, especially if you're a liberal, to understand how damaging this is to you and to me long term in terms of the country. Okay, we started this story in 2020 with there is no laptop, there is no business. We're now sitting here 4 years later with living, breathing business partners. The FBI has corroborated the laptop, and the Bidens, who went from I never talked to my son about his business, are now saying, well, I called into his business meetings with his partners on 20 different occasions, but it was not to discuss the business.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
This in regard to a story we weren't allowed to discuss in the run-up to the election because they thought it would be damaging to the Bidens. Now you know why it would be damaging to the Bidens. This looks terrible. Okay, it's likely criminal. They were absolutely moving money around as if they were laundering it. If you and me do a business transaction and I say, hey, for my end, can you send the money through 96 different bank accounts and make sure the last one's my grandkid? Doesn't that make you think, you know, Uncle Jimmy might be doing a little something with the finances? I mean, come on. So you understand what was happening in real time is the Bidens were running some type of an influence peddling operation. It very much could have swung the outcome of the election, so they didn't want it discussed further. So they flat out just said, you can't. You can't. Nope. No Twitter, no Facebook, no social media. You cannot discuss this. That's just the way it's going to be. And when the election was over, they all admitted it was real. If that's not election interference doesn't exist. But you understand if you just co-sign this as a liberal because you're like, well, my guy won the election. What do I care? You understand that makes it the standard operating procedure and only a matter of time before it could happen to your candidate. But regardless of whose candidate it's happening to, it's screwing over the integrity of our democracy. And the victims when that goes down are not Hunter Biden or any Trump. It's you and me.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
You're listening to the best dad on the radio.
Can't believe you forgot my birthday.
You're with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Trying to hold this country together. We are bringing in some heavyweight backup. Man who was there on the Hill yesterday, going back and forth with Tony Bobulinski, explaining what RICO means to AOC. It was a busy day for Byron Donalds. He joins us now. Hey, man.
Jimmy, what's up, man? How you doing?
Ooh. Do you remember the rap song OPP? We've talked about this, Naughty by Nature.
You could
write a rap song called Are You Down with CCP for the Bidens.
You know, I could because there's a lot of money that flows to that tune. You know, usually if you write a song, it's because people made money in the process. Let me just tell you, they made a lot of money in the process, Jimmy. And it wasn't just China. It was China. It was Ukraine. It was Romania. It was Russia. All of the receipts dropped yesterday.
Yep.
And the funny thing watching the Democrats as the hearing went on is that they had nothing.
Yeah.
They brought in this guy, Lev Parnas, to talk about Rudy Giuliani. They were showing pictures of Lev Parnas and Rudy Giuliani on the jet plane.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, that's what your whole story is? That's your comeback? So, yeah, it was a bad day for them. But look, the reality is we know the deal. Joe Biden was making money off his office. And the one thing I will say that they were really slick at is they made sure that a lot of the payments didn't happen until after he left. But they still did the work when he was VP.
Yep.
They compromised the Obama White House with their foolishness. And, of course, they just want to cover it up and just talk about Lev Parnas or anything else.
Yeah, it seemed like they were just trying to run the shot clock and obviously discredit Bobulinski. But he's a guy who showed up like yourself with receipts. You know, he wasn't just howling accusations into the night sky.
Look, we knew it was going to be a good day when he called Jamie Raskin a liar in his opening statement. We were like, oh, this Tony Bobulinski guy, he does not care. And he's coming in ready to go. And I think that put the Dems on their heels. Mm-hmm. But whether it was him or Mr. Galanis, who was a business partner of Hunter Biden back when Joe Biden was still vice president, Galanis was just like, no, Joe Biden was at that meeting. Mm-hmm. He was at this meeting. He was at that meeting. We all knew that the job was to give Joe Biden plausible deniability. Bobulinski said, yeah, I met Joe Biden. It wasn't just some handshake to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
He was trying to talk about all my business, what I've done and what my background was, mm-hmm. talking about his background, the family's background. He said they talked for like 45 minutes at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Damn.
Now, Jimmy, let's just be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
If you meet somebody and it's a potential business associate of your son, do you talk to that person for 45 minutes, or do you just say, hey, nice meeting you, kid, and you move on to the next thing?
Yeah. Exactly.
What do you do?
No, I get it. I get where you're going with this. I just must admit, I got a little sidetracked, though, because when you said Beverly Hills Hotel, I know what kind of women are in that lobby. Now, you're a better man than me, okay, but there was a young Jimmy Failla that wouldn't have been safe in that lobby, and it wouldn't have been because of the Ukrainian money, you understand?
Listen, apparently Joe Biden was there at night and he liked it. I don't know. That's kind of what I was picking up from the testimony yesterday. That's what I was getting, Jimmy. But you know what the funny part is? The Dems, they would say, well, Mr. Galanis is in jail. Yeah. This person's indicted. Yeah. That person's indicted. And I'm like, yeah, but they were all Hunter's business partners.
Yep.
So you know the old saying, birds of a feather.
Yep.
If all your business partners are either indicted or in jail, and the only reason you ain't in jail yet is because your daddy's president of the United States, I mean, you tell me who's credible.
Yep. It's fascinating. But, you know, I appreciate you speaking to this for a minute, because the bigger point I'm trying to make to people is, regardless of how this plays out, they interfered in the 2020 election by not letting us discuss this. They told us this didn't exist. It was fake. So imagine that. You have a ref, okay, swallowing the whistle. And now we're being told, like, democracy's on the ballot. You got to vote for those people who wouldn't let you discuss this story.
Jimmy, it's worse than that. Mm-hmm. Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, mm-hmm. those are the two guys that helped orchestrate that letter of 51 intelligence community officials who all said that the laptop was Russian disinformation. Mm-hmm. They all knew it was a lie. Yep. Those are the guys who are setting foreign policy for the United States right now under Joe Biden. They lied to the American people about this. They covered up a foreign influence peddling scheme between Joe Biden, his son, and his brother. And people forget about the brother. The brother was involved in this too. They covered it all up. And these are the guys doing foreign policy on behalf of the United States. It's no wonder that our foreign policy is a hot mess. We've lost 11 U.S. embassies in 3.5 years, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It is a dumpster fire. Yep. So the guys who lied to the American people and did interfere with an election are the same guys who were leading U.S. foreign policy. No wonder we're looking like a hot mess.
True story. So if we were a professional sports franchise, we're absolutely in rebuild mode right now. Is that what you'd say?
Rebuild. No, we're way past that. You might have to move the team. Like, that's where we are. Because even the city's not behind you anymore. They're like, man, these guys are a bunch of bums. Like, we don't even want to. You want us to build a new stadium? Nah, we're good. We'll keep our money. You know, we'll build little league baseball fields and basketball fields and football fields. Maybe we'll be good again in 20 years. That's how bad these guys are. And so, look, I made a joke. I made a joke to a reporter.
Give me 20 seconds. Give it to me.
I said it like this. 20 seconds. I said it to you before, Jimmy. This is like when you draft a quarterback and you realize he can't play after 2 games.
Yeah.
But you stuck for the whole season.
It's time
America
to clean house.
Is here.
BD, have a big weekend. Great stuff. They are playing ZZ Top on Fox Across America. Could be the theme song of this next caller. A sharp-dressed man, if ever there was one. Michael is in Christiansburg, Virginia. Michael!
Is this Mr. Barbecue? I'd like to place an order, please.
Yo, you heard that call? Is he kidding me, Juan? He calls and he's like, I'm having ribs and a beer? Does he not listen to this show? Unbelievable.
Oh, man, I'm right there with you, buddy. I'd love to be licking my fingers with some barbecue sauce right now. So, hey, how great is Byron Donalds? Oh, my gosh. He is such a cool follow on X. That guy has it going on, my man.
He should be, I mean it, he should be the VP. Like, if I had a pick. Because he's a really good communicator in a way that, like, you know, the Democrats, obviously, they want to call everybody a racist. And they'll call him a racist, which is hilarious, you know. But he can force the conversation to a substantive place. He's cool. Like, I've hung out with him off the air. I've met his mom. I've met his kids. He actually would be, like, the best thing about a Trump ticket. He'd be good.
He is a good man. Hey, and just a quick reminder, remember AOC was scared by a garbage disposal back in the day. So, you know, she's got that going for her.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Hey, so look, buddy, this isn't my first rodeo, but I do look like I've been ridden hard and put up wet. But just a word of warning, I don't trust any poll.
Yep.
And I haven't for decades because of how they can be manipulated, especially these days.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So do you think they're overstating Trump's support, maybe? Or what do you think it is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think any poll right now showing Trump leading can be used to energize the Democrat base and the never Trumpers and to get Trump supporters to go, oh, man, he's got it. He's got it. We don't need to worry about voting or everything and just get Republicans to stay home. Well, and so I don't trust any of them.
Well, you know, I think it's good analysis. I think the bigger challenge is that the polls just don't reflect Biden's voters because a lot of them are dead. You know, it's hard to poll these people. Like, they're going to vote. They're going to show up and vote, but it's hard to poll the dead. So you can't forget that either.
That's what I want on my tombstone. Just don't let me vote Democrat. That's what I'm going to put on there, you know, after it's over.
That's funny. Lifelong Republican Democrat now. So they have, like, the years of your life with an R next to it, and then the year of your death, they put a D. I love that.
That's going to be it right there. You nailed it,
you
buddy.
You still got it, Michael. Good talk. My man. There he goes. The great Michael. Listen, could the polls be off? A little bit. He's not wrong about that. Traditionally, they're undersampling Trump support. So what a lot of people who work in polling think is the polls are off, but that the Trump gap ahead of Biden is bigger than it is. The one thing I'll tell you where I would disagree with Michael, who I love talking to, I put him on every day pretty much on the show. But the one thing I disagree on is the Trump voter is not going to get complacent. Like, if you're a Trump voter, you're voting. You're voting. You are absolutely 100 million, trillion, billion percent voting because you can't take anything for granted. Okay, the last time around, you went to bed on election night winning in five states that you lost after a week's worth of recounts and additional counts and new ballots in the mail and everything else. And I'm not saying it was stolen. I'm just stating the obvious that we had never voted that way in the history of our republic. And it just happened to happen in a year where they were trying to dethrone a president who has been treated in so many other unprecedented ways. Like, you think about that. You know, Trump's been indicted 91 times. We've never indicted a president before. Okay? Trump was the first president as an incumbent to increase his vote count and still lose the election. Do you realize how unheard of that is? If somebody wins the presidency and gets even more votes the next time, they're widely regarded as having done a good job. They're widely regarded as having delivered for the people. Ergo, their vote count increases and they win election every single time except one. Now, how is that possible? Okay, obviously they changed the rules, which juiced voter turnout. But the reality is that rule change was justified by COVID, and that hysteria was justified to manufacture an unprecedented way of voting. And when the election was over and Trump said it was stolen, just like the Democrats said it was stolen in 2016, we didn't actually have an election integrity commission. We didn't take a hard look into how the votes were counted or printed or mailed or whatever. Okay, we just said, no, you can't talk about this. January 6th. You start talking about this, people are just going to run into the streets and kill each other. We saw it on January 6th, except we didn't see it on January 6th. January 6th was really bad. Wasn't in the top 20 most violent political events of the year in 2020. No chance. Not in the George Floyd summer. January 6th, it would almost seem preposterous. You're like, what are you talking about, Jimmy? They were at the Capitol. Okay, great. But you know what they were doing in the month of July? They were stoning the White House. Okay, so much so that the president had to be put in a bunker underneath the White House as if foreign combatants now occupied D.C. That's the bunker he's in. Think about that. We've got a bunker under the White House that's fortified that the Secret Service would throw you in if, let's say, a loose jet had made it into our airspace or troops had somehow made it onto the ground, heaven forbid, in a Red Dawn scenario. Some type of terror group breached the White House grounds. Trump was in that bunker. Okay, you don't go into that bunker because it's a fiery but mostly peaceful protest.
People aren't buying at CNN, you dumb bastards.
And that went on several times where they had to erect an additional fence around the White House because of how many Secret Service agents were hit with bricks and rocks by a mob that was trying to break into the White House. Do you understand? Capitol, really bad. Really bad. I'm not making any excuse for what went on that day. But I'm telling you, the selective concern with political violence that the Democrats show leads someone like me, who operates largely on horse sense, to realize that it's not coincidental that all of these unprecedented maneuvers only target Trump. Never indicted a president before, Trump becomes the guy. Never impeached a president twice, Trump becomes the guy. You understand? It's crazy. It's bananas. Okay? Never tried to take a guy off the ballot running for re-elect, Trump becomes a guy. Now, you could say to me, well, Trump, I mean, his behavior, no one's ever behaved like Trump. We've never had a guy that was it.
Wrong.
Okay, Trump's actual behavior, you might not love his rhetoric, but his behavior is actually, like, you know, in terms of leading the country, is actually very good. Again, I'm not condoning the tweets. I can't condone most of them. And his rhetoric does get out there. But the worst impersonation or the worst impression Trump has made is when the media has mischaracterized his words or his message. Okay, the bloodbath episode from this week comes to mind immediately. Trump is speaking openly about how China is trying to steal American jobs and then sell us back cars that are made in Mexico for a greater profit. He says, I'll slap 100% tariff on China if I get elected. If I don't get elected, forget about it. It's going to be a bloodbath. The Democrats want you to believe that in that sentence, he had pivoted from elect me so I can protect you from these car thefts when it comes to our manufacturing jobs to if you don't elect me, everyone's going to die. Do you see where they repurpose rhetoric, they repurpose action? I mean, that's January 6th. January 6th was very bad, and I've told you that. Okay, was it a George Floyd riot event? No, not even close. George Floyd riots killed 42 people in total, caused $10 billion worth of property damage. As heinous and as hideous as the Capitol was, the person who died was a Trump supporter, Ashley Babbitt, who was shot in the throat. Okay, anyone else who wound up being there that day that ultimately died days or weeks later died for reasons that were unaffiliated with January 6th. But the initial reporting, they didn't tell you that. And, you know, the whole, you know, old line about a lie making it all the way or halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put its pants on, that whole thing. That's very much how they repurposed January 6th. They told you it was a deadly white supremacist insurrection, as if they showed up with no weapons to overthrow the most powerful government in the world.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
They weren't trying to overthrow the government. You weren't a minute away from having the guy in the Chewbacca hat sworn in as your president. Okay, it was a protest that got out of hand, and it was bad, and it shouldn't have went on. And yeah, there were probably a lot of feds there. It's one of the reasons they won't testify under oath to how many. Okay, but I'm not trying to repurpose January 6th. It was a losing day for America. It's what it was. But the Democrats used January 6th and repurposed its meaning to justify us not looking into the election. Meaning, you can't question whether these mail-in ballots were valid. January 6th, people start killing everybody. No chance. No, nope. The postmark, no chance. Signature verification, no chance. Can't do it. Supreme Court's going to kick it back down to the lower court. We'll throw it out. Everyone's going to die if we question this. Can't do it. No chance. You understand? So we're going into an election right now between you and me, and you need to know this because I care, okay? The losing side of this election is going to claim it was stolen 5 billion trillion percent. Okay, I know the Democrats are going to do it because they've said it was stolen every single time they've lost an election in this century, 2000 with Bush, 2004 with Bush. They said he stole Ohio from Kerry. 2016, Hillary Clinton said Trump had help with Russia. That was the narrative. And we did an unprecedented $33 million probe into whether or not Russia was now in control of our government. Again, another thing we'd never done to anyone but Donald Trump. See, the Democrats manufactured a hysteria around Donald Trump and his supporters that in their minds justifies any type of unprecedented level of attack they can conjure up. That's where all this ridiculous Fannie Willis stuff is coming from. That's where this Letitia James wants to seize Trump's assets and sell off Trump Tower because of a $454 million bond that nobody can post. A $454 million bond is not, do you have $454 million? It's, are you liquid in your assets? And people who have big money don't keep cash lying around in those numbers. They have it invested in real estate. They have it invested in properties. Even Mark Cuban, who hates Trump with all the fiber in his being, had to correct congressman on Twitter and say, hey, no, nobody has this money. That's not how this works. This is a private entity. It's unprecedented. But again, the Democrats are waging this unprecedented fight to seize his assets specifically because it's Trump. It's not about the rule of law. So when Trump, you know, if he wins this election, Democrats say it's stolen. If he loses this election, he's going to tell you it was stolen. Okay, and then we're going to be back to square one. So it would behoove everybody to have an election integrity commission to really go probe this thing to the ends of the earth so we knew going forward. Okay, but there's one party that won't let us do that. One party that won't let us do that because they say, well, it's just we're just looking out for you. You can't look into the integrity of our elections. We're just trying to help you.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
But that's exactly what they're doing.
A show so good, people don't know what to think.
This feels weird. Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking to Jesse Waters in the next hour. He joins us in studio to have a grown-up talk about his new book, Get It Together. What Jesse did for this book is he interviewed a host of different liberal activists, climate people, drag queens, vegan Instagrammers, things of that nature, and really got into it with them. Didn't fight with them. And I think he'll tell you when he visits in studio that he liked a lot of these people. Because it's one thing Jesse and I have in common is we find fun in this fray. We're not out there looking at these people as our enemies. We do clown some of the behavior we come across. But at the end of the day, the whole point of life is not to be mad at people. Oh, that's just exhausting. 888-788-9910. If you have a question for me, you have a question for Jesse, we will get there. We're just putting the finishing touches on this whole 2024 analysis. Byron Donalds was in the chamber. He spoke to Tony Bobulinski's Hunter Biden's business partner and detailed at great length how the money was moving from one foreign government to another, to the Bidens, to other bank accounts, to everything in between. They brought the receipts. Okay, was Biden making money off of this deal? 100 trillion percent he was.
I agree with that.
Okay, the Obama Treasury Department flagged for Hunter's banking transactions and labeled them suspicious activity reports over 159 times. Now, money's just moving in a way that gets their attention. They go, hey, there's, you know, millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars being moved around in a way that doesn't look legit. Okay, that happened under Obama 150 plus times. I mean, again, we were talking about coincidences. That is not a coincidence. 150 times.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, coincidences are coincidence. It happens this one time, and you're like, huh, that's weird. Was it set up? But if it happens 150 times, it's not called a coincidence. It's called a pattern.
Bingo.
And we're in that same place when it comes to the election. Okay, when, you know, the media mischaracterizes Trump's words, okay, if it happens once, you go, okay. But if everything that comes out of the guy's mouth is repackaged, you go, oh, I get it. This is what they do. Okay, here is the Trump clip one more time. It is clip 19.
You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
So that's Trump. Okay. In its full context. Here's the media claiming he said everybody's going to die. Clip 20.
I mean, what I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump.
He's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath?
It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing.
We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid.
So he says his bloodbath comment was referring to the auto industry. That's not how it sounded to me.
It's not some meandering off-message comment. This is his message.
A major party candidate is saying, you elect me, there's going to be dictatorship, bloodbath, violence, retribution against my political enemies. That equals what we saw in Italy and Germany and other places.
Not taking it out of context, because the context is his history and his life.
I mean, really think about that, okay? He just said in that clip, if Trump's not elected, he just said you're going to see violence that equals what we saw in Germany and Italy.
You are so full of shit.
If I'm not elected, he's claiming Trump is going to take it further than Hitler. I mean,
you're a bald-faced liar, a liar.
First of all, Hitler only had the capacity to perpetuate the kind of evil that he did because he was in power. Okay, number one. But number two, Trump didn't say any of that. Ooh, you almost got me to curse on the air. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Jesse Waters is coming by at the top of the next hour to calm me down, get this thing back on the rails on a fiery episode of Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, there it is, and here we go. Got a big hour coming up of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. Reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. We are, of course, your home for top-shelf radio in a bottom-feeding political world.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
We'll discuss some of those people, as well as activists on the fringe in this hour with Jesse Waters, the host of Jesse Waters Primetime, a show I appear on quite frequently. You're welcome for the ratings. Waters team, and he will appear on this show in studio for the first time since his last book came out. That's how you'd like, if you start to see Jesse on other people's shows, this isn't like me, where you'll catch me on the weather, I'll be on the Fox and Friends, I'm subbing in for the window washer on the 42nd floor. You know, he's a groundhog when it comes to guest appearances. There are special occasions, all of which involve him moving a little bit of product.
Please give us money.
That is essentially the manifesto over at Team Waters. But the truth is, if you read the book, you'll love it. I don't know that I'll say that to him when he's in studio. We, have a pretty chippy relationship on and off camera. It's good. It's healthy. It's fun. We are known to compliment each other through emails. We may get into that when he's here. But the truth is, the book, Get It Together, speaks to something that's very near and dear to my heart, in that the common thread amongst all of these weird activists he interviews, this is what Jesse did. Each chapter is devoted to some type of a weirdo. Okay. A emotional support squirrel caretaker. A trans woman who identifies as a wolf. No, it's not Hillary Clinton. At one point, he interviews a guy who smokes toad. If you don't know what that is, there are people out there smoking toad venom.
They're crazy.
And if they weren't, they are now, because it ain't good for you. There's a lot of weird people he sat down with, but the one thing it comes back to over and over and over is bad parenting. In this country right now, okay, I always use this phrase on the show. It's not white privilege, okay? It's family privilege. People of all ethnicities have an advantage if they come from a good family. People who model work ethic, personal responsibility, empathy, you know, consideration for others. If you were raised in that environment with one parent or two parents or 12 parents, okay, or no parent, and you had a guardian or a grandparent, somebody like that who steered you in the right direction, you had family privilege. Okay, you know, if you didn't have that, you know, people listening right now are like, man, nobody looked out for me. I had to make my own way. And you very well may have. But let's hope that at some point you will start a family and give someone else family privilege, because it's necessary. It's vital. It's important. Okay, my kid on paper would probably read like a child of some sort of a privilege, because his dad is a TV show and his dad is a radio show and appears on the biggest network in the world. But for one, I'm a hot mess. And for two, when Lincoln was born, his dad didn't even have a bank account. okay? We, you know, people say, we didn't have any money in the bank. I didn't have a bank. I had a shoebox. Okay, but, you know, while we were banking at the Bank of Nike, we did have the ambition and the persistence to make it to the Bank of Reebok. And, you know, after a couple of years in the Bank of Reebok, we made it to the Bank of Adidas. And lo and behold, we eventually broke through. And here we are on the biggest media platform in the world. But Lincoln had family privilege for all of that, no matter what kind of money we had. We didn't have any money, but he still had family privilege, meaning, you know, Jenny and I busted our asses, worked hard, taught him how to treat people right, and have a good time. And that's it. It's family privilege. And if you have that, you win. There are a lot of people in society right now, okay, who are, you know, best, most efficiently described as that's the best way I could say it. There's a surplus of in society, and you can insert whatever expletive description of a human being you'd like to with that beep. That's how it works. It's like the Smurfs. Okay, they use the word Smurf for everything. But the point is, a lot of these people come from homes where they might even have means, but their parents don't do their jobs to raise a child with a greater good in mind. Now, that doesn't absolve these kids. That doesn't give them the right to go out and screw up society. But the one thing you'll notice when you read his book, and you should read his book, it's a good manifesto for how to improve things, which is to just take personal responsibility for your own little fiefdom. Because that's how a greater good happens. Think of it like a band. If everybody's on time with their instruments, the song sounds good. Think of it like a football team. If everybody runs the right blocking scheme, the quarterback's safe. The running back gets a few yards. But if nobody takes care of their own little position at left guard or left tackle or center, flanker, whatever the hell you're doing in the formation, if people don't do their own personal jobs, the greater good can't flourish. That's where we find ourselves now. It's not about political ideology. It's not about how you vote. And that stuff's certainly going to matter in the long term in terms of how it affects policy. But if you're just trying to contribute to a greater good and make a better responsible, you know, life for yourself and the people around you, then it really does start in the home. And I'm going to go out on a limb having read his entire book and say a lot of these people came from homes that weren't doing things correctly.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
The critics have spoken.
You do that again and I'll break every bone in your body.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Although this next guest, he knows me as the ratings fairy. Just a gift. Just a gift to those primetime ratings. I kid, you know him, you love him in primetime here on the Fox News Channel. Although you'd probably love him more if only he promoted his book a bit more on the channel this week.
Do I have a book out?
Good for you! The author of Get It Together, Troubling Tales from the Liberal Fringe. It is available everywhere. Fine books are sold. Jesse Waters, back in the house. Hey, girl.
Do you know how you know I have a book out?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm on your show.
Thank you! You want to know something? I said that! I said you have the radio appearance schedule of a groundhog, meaning it's a significant day. If we see you on 15, we know what's going on. We got to move some product.
The last time I was out not numbered, also had the book out.
Good for you. Well, you're going to laugh. The last time I was on Outnumbered, although I will have you know, they would probably have you on more frequently. Whereas if I don't have a product, they're not.
No, I actually think you've been banned. Yeah. After the last appearance.
It's for the best.
Yeah, you're not allowed back.
Do you want to know my best Outnumbered? Because we have to get to the book. Because I'm like the one interview you're going to do where the guy reads it the first week. I don't doubt a lot of them are going to read it. But you and I were talking off air.
Right. Well, we're okay. Just proud that you can read.
Yeah, there's that. All right. Shots already fired. And we'll get there then. All right. We'll get there.
Yeah.
And I defended you on Gutfeld this week because they photoshopped a picture of you bald. Have you seen this on Greg's show?
I have not. I don't watch Greg's show.
Boom. He's fired up. But anyway, I was on Outnumbered one day and I just laugh. It was the day of the Chinese spy balloon incident. But it was one of those days where for a cause, we're all wearing red. So the whole Outnumbered couch is wearing red. And we did an hour on China and the spy balloon.
Oops.
And that's where the on-air promos can bite a guy in the butt, you see? But we'll move forward. The book, it's Get It Together, Troubling Tales from the Liberal Fringe. Now, a lot of people would say, Waters, that this might just be a collection of a bunch of TikTok weirdos. But the truth is, there are some Instagram weirdos as well. And I want to start there. It's the vegan Instagrammers you spoke to, because we specifically spend a lot of time on your set talking about whatever protein I'm trying to sell myself as a means of not having to wear Spanx on the air when I host my show.
Yes.
The note that jumped out at me is you talk about how anyone who gets steak ordered well done is disrespecting the animal.
I love that.
Now, can that be squared with Trump, though? Because I was told Trump is a well-done guy, and Trump loves you.
I love him, too, but the way he eats his steak is just uncivilized.
Is he? Give me this really quick. Is Trump putting ketchup on a steak?
I wouldn't be surprised.
This man...
And he eats ice cream, too. And I have a rule for men not to eat ice cream in public, except if you're on vacation.
Fair.
Because you don't want to be sticking your tongue out a lot in public.
Yeah, yeah.
Something not very masculine about that.
It's
when you
not.
See a man
yeah.
licking an ice cream cone. Use a spoon if you have to.
It's a great mafia line where they go like, the Don doesn't wear shorts. There are certain optics. There are
straws banned so for men. You will never see me sucking out of a straw.
No, no, that's humiliating. You don't want to be in that picture. Well, then give me this then to that point, since we're talking optics and we get right back into the book. Over the summer, we saw Biden on the beach. We saw his C-cup breasts for like 3 weeks. Don't you just think as a country we shouldn't be showing our male president's breasts to the world regardless of who it is?
You reach a certain age where you have to have the self-awareness to know that you don't look good.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't gotten there yet. You will. I've seen you with your shirt off.
I'm just going to take
it. You haven't turned down a photograph ever.
No, no.
But at 80, wherever he is, you got to have a t-shirt, or at least you have to go to a private beach.
Yeah.
Not in the middle of a Delaware public beach.
It's not happening. Jesse Waters is in studio. He has a new book out this week, so we decided to book him.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
I kid. We love Waters. He's a number one New York Times bestselling author. I will say this. The next thing that really jumped out at me was, and I just want to make sure I understand this, was the Toad Smoker on primetime?
Last night.
Yes, that's the same person.
The Toad Smoker came on.
Yes.
And he told the story about when he goes south into Mexico, he goes to the tribal regions, the reservations where they have this toad, and he secretes the venom from it, cooks it up, smokes it, and he smoked it with one of the most lethal cartel assassins. She's a female.
A woman, right?
And she saw God. Mm-hmm. And imagine murdering 400 people and then seeing God. Not a good conversation. So she flipped out, had a bad trip, and he's never heard from her or seen her again. And that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, the weird people you meet on Tinder these days. I laugh, though. So the Toad Smoker jumped out at me because I think... You know how they say in pro sports, the athletes are ahead of the dopers, like in the Tour de France? I think the thrill seekers are ahead of society. It's like technology is ahead of us because there's a lot of that out there.
This gentleman who we interviewed, the Toad Smoker, it's his religion.
Yeah.
And we had him on last night, and my producer said he was hot.
Uh-huh.
And none of the other people in this book are hot. And this guy had great posture. He was breathing. He was articulate. The guy that smokes toad venom might have been the most well-adjusted together guy I interviewed.
But are you going to tell me on record right now that the trans woman who identifies as a wolf is not hot?
Ow!
I
got
to say something. She might not be hot on paper, but those are usually the best time. You know what I mean? It's just a good time. Maybe not this particular woman. I'm just saying in general.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, Jimmy.
Listen, it's a long season. Nobody goes undefeated. Jesse Waters is here. The book, Get It Together. It's available everywhere. We're excited about it. What percentage, this is something I didn't specifically cite in the book, but what percentage of like activists, weirdo activists, would you say are white? Because I feel like we're monopolizing this lane a lot.
I would say most of them are white,
yep.
and most of them are women.
Yeah.
And we did speak to a black nationalist, obviously African-American. And I believe the Toad Smoker may have been an indigenous tribesman of the Southwest. But besides that, a majority of these people are white.
Yeah.
And they have white guilt.
Yes, what it is.
And they've had traumatic childhood experiences, either a barstool dad or a nymphomaniac mom, maybe sexually abused. And they're either seeking revenge against America, they have daddy issues.
Yep.
But these are not always poor people. Some of these people, like the woman who wants to legalize prostitution. She grew up very wealthy and then ended up stripping at 16, then to crystal meth, then into the sex trade.
Okay. Well, no, the thing I kept coming back to is the common thread here is bad parenting.
Correct.
And you can, and a lot of people equate good and bad parenting with financial means, but the truth is a lot of good parents are poor.
Some of the worst parents are wealthy.
Yes, that's
true. And you know their sons and daughters are probably the most disturbed people.
Thank you. All right. The reason I bring that up, because this is almost an end around back to Trump, okay? Sometimes people have tried to discredit Trump because they say, like, oh, his dad was loaded. But how many people do you know whose parents are loaded so they don't amount to anything because they don't have that primal imperative to succeed? Isn't it almost an outlier if your parents are loaded but you have that competitive drive?
So – not only do they have a competitive drive, they don't smoke, they don't drink.
Yeah.
Joe Biden didn't grow up with a lot of money,
yeah,
and his son is a disaster.
Yeah, think about that.
And why? Because Joe Biden couldn't tell Hunter to get it together.
No. Oh, there it is.
He was never told no as a child. Uh-huh. He was always enabled, and every time he fell flat on his face, he was saved.
Yep.
Either the coke in the Navy or continuously leaving crack pipes and rental cars. Mm-hmm. He was always bailed out.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you have to have boundaries, and this son had no boundaries, and that's why we have no boundaries in this country now.
Thank you. And that's why people need to get it together, as he would say. The one thing that has been admirable during this stretch of media I've watched you do, I even saw it today on Outnumbered, whenever you had to make a point, you made a point with the book in your hand. Actually, it was raining yesterday. Instead of putting his jacket over for a puddle for a woman, he put get it together in the puddle.
You know what I was going to do? What was it, the Academy Awards, when the actor came out buck naked?
Yeah, yeah.
I should have just done that with my book below my waist.
He's going to stage a robbery outside the building where he beats off a robber with a copy of the book.
I'm going to beat him off.
Hey, well, listen, the rent don't pay itself. Give me this, okay?
Yes.
The Waters family's going away. They're all jerseyed out for the weekend. Okay, you got to pick one person from this book to watch the house. Is it the emotional support squirrel caretaker? No, I'll give you three choices.
Okay.
Emotional support squirrel
caretaker. Is this like Mary F. Kill?
No, I just want to know who watches the house, because the one thing I know about you is you do find value in these people, meaning you like them.
Yes.
I don't think you wrote about these people from a place of disdain.
I have compassion, and many people are surprised that I actually have emotions, that I have a heart, but I do.
No, you
do. And many people see me on television as this rough, gruff, masculine guy that never cries, but I actually feel things for people, and that's what I want to get across, Jimmy.
He's trying to help you get it together. That's the point.
I'm listening.
This is not for him. He did this for you,
this
America.
This is a public service. This is the Jesse Waters Foundation.
So give me this. Okay.
So, okay, we have the
Chateau Waters.
Okay. Yes.
Emotional support squirrel caretaker, trans woman who identifies as a wolf, or toad smoker. Who gets the keys to the house in good faith that it'll be in one piece when you get back?
I'm going with the trans wolf man.
You say so.
And here's why. Mm-hmm. The emotional support squirrel caretaker was so unself-aware that she took the pet squirrel on an airplane.
No.
And then was arrested and dragged off by U.S. Marshals, and she didn't think she'd done anything wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then what was the other choice? The toad smoker. Yeah. I'd worry about the police.
Yeah, that's an issue.
And
the garden's going to run into some problems.
I'd worry about my property. But I'd probably go with the Wolfman, because what's the worst he's going to do?
Yeah.
What, is he going to howl at the moon? What, is he going to invite some of his friends Raven over? I think we're going to be fine with the wolf.
And he won't appreciate us saying this, but the truth is a full moon doesn't actually affect him.
That's where he does his best work.
He'd like you to believe he does. The book is called Get It Together, Troubling Tales from the Liberal Fringe. I genuinely thought it was a great read, but where I was emotionally invested was in the protein stuff. So if you guys are going to buy this, know that most of our friendship, in a fleeting friendship that we have on TV sets, really revolves around whatever protein I'm trying to eat.
Our TV friendship.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That 4 minutes that you come on set, declare yourself the ratings fairy.
It matters.
And then we talk about how you're trying to lose weight.
But I tell people this. That is what happens. And it's working. You know what Manny told me in wardrobe yesterday?
Yes.
My measurements are down everywhere. since I got my show because this high protein fiasco works.
So Ainsley says that being on TV is the best diet.
No, is it ever?
Because you're looking at yourself on the screen.
There's no greater feeling. Once in a while you get an elevator and you're like, who's that fat? And you're like, oh my God, it is me. So I will go get it together. You will buy multiple copies of the book. Waters will always have this. I'll see you in like 3 years when the next one comes out.
I'll see you in 3 years. Get it together, Fela.
There he goes, Jesse Waters.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
There it is. Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Fallon. Fired up to talk to this next guest. You can see him next weekend at TIFFS in Morris Plains, New Jersey. I am talking about Diamond Dave Landau. Yo, yo, yo.
Hey, kitten.
Hey, girl. This is a big deal because I think we missed last week's episode. And we owe this to the American people. Have you noticed? I just wanted to ask you this. So in the Twitter comments, when you post your crazy memes and all of that, there are people now tagging me like, hey, I'd like to see Landau on more Fox News. We're starting to cross over successfully. They're starting to get it.
That's right.
Thank you. Our plan for world domination is starting to grow one Twitter follower with no profile picture at a time.
That's right. As long as we have a few egg emojis, we are going to take over, friend.
The proof is in the instant pudding, as they like to say.
That's right.
Well, it's good to hear you. It's good to hear your voice, Diamond Dave.
And only like 3% of what they write isn't hate.
Yo, you know what's funny about? So this is interesting. I was just interviewing Jesse Waters, and he was talking about advice given to him when he got his show. And one of our former hosts, Tucker Carlson, you probably haven't heard of him, but if you Google him, look him up. It's in the book. He cites him in the book.
I'll try to find him. Well,
it's Tucker. Yeah, write it down. So he had told Jesse, he said, don't read the comment threads. He's like, it's just unhealthy. Because Jesse kind of details all the advice he was given by respective hosts. And I have to tell you, in the comment threads, for as much support as you get, if you do read them, it does affect you, if only because you're talking to a broken human being and you're reading a statement that's wrong in so many ways, and there is a part of you that wants to correct it, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I've not taken that advice for the longest time. And the things that I say to people would be called unprofessional.
I think that's really why they're saying it. It's not so much for your mental well-being, but for the fact that it might drag you into the type of alley cat fight that would compromise you professionally. Maybe that's why the advice exists.
I think that's the main reason when they're like, could you not say these things? You're a representative of a company. And I'm like, but I'm a comic.
Come on. The whole job is to not let it go.
I know. It's like I ignored 99% of it, but then they put their real picture up and I found it. They slipped up. They showed me who they were.
They weren't supposed to do that. So I'm not going to out this gentleman because I've had to block him from a Fox page 3 times. There was a comic who I would say peaked in the 90s. And by peaked, I mean was playing some of the nicer firehouses. Okay.
Yes, of course.
And just like when Fox announced that I got the show, it was in like a good thread, like a Hollywood Reporter thread. This guy, right. I never met him, didn't know him, but the dude just went in and just like really like got into it, you know, F you, this, that, the other thing, everything else. So I actually messaged him like saying, hey, and not in a hostile tone at all. It's like, we actually don't know each other, you know, but anyway, you know, I don't know why you feel the way you do. I said, but if you want to come on my radio show and talk about it, like we should talk about it because like it would be really funny if you add like sharp, funny critiques of me and I could laugh at myself on the air and we could do that. At which point he got back in with so much like hostility for the other people that I banned him from the page, which he then created another profile. And this has now happened 3 times where I've messaged the profile going, hey, Artie, I know it's you. By the way, stop making new profiles and let's just talk as you and me. But the answer was no. And we're now on profile number 4. So my question to you is, OK, because we want to understand people. What is going on with the people that have that much hostility for successful comics? Do you think it's because they wanted to be one? Do you think it's just something we don't understand? What is it? And or what, you know, and we're guessing here, but what do you think it is?
Oh, honestly, I mean, there's ways I can answer it. But if I'm being perfectly honest, there's people that are so discernible talent. Mm-hmm. So when they see somebody actually doing something with their life, it infuriates them.
Yeah.
And the only thing that they can possibly do is attack you. I mean, I've been experiencing it for 6 years.
Yep.
And it's astonishing. Like, I was right out of the gate in any level of kind of notoriety that I had mm-hmm. was immediately attacked. And I've had to ignore it over the years. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've had those people where it's jealousy. It's coming from other places. And I just, it's sort of weird because it's like, I understand you're jealous of all the good things you see online, but you're not, do you understand that it's hell to be me? Like, I don't enjoy this. My brain is a nightmare. I'm doing therapy the second we get off the phone. I've been doing it for years. Like, I love to just people see this, like, the greatest versions of everyone, and they yeah. think that's your constant life. Like,
yeah.
nothing's easy. Look at the world. Like, why would you think that everyone, like, anything you see, nobody's enjoying themselves all the time. And then it's like, you're so miserable. You want to take away the little thing that I have? Go to hell.
Dave Landau's on the phone. He's trapped in a flesh prison. And
yes, I am. Between my two ears, it's a nightmare, Jimmy.
Oh, believe me, man. If you knew. So I'll tell you a funny thing. Sometimes when I'm on TV, if I tell a joke that's like way too far or out there, but it gets a laugh, while they're laughing, I kind of deride myself. I go, Jimmy, like that. And I'm kind of like dismissing myself. It's a tick from when I was a cab driver and I was alone in my cab between fares and thinking the most insane thoughts a human being has ever thought. I'm not talking about healthy ones. And I would admonish myself and kind of break the spell by being like, Jimmy, would you stop? You stop. You are not going to drive this car into the Mall of Manhattan right now and take out 32 people. Jimmy, you know what I mean? And that's what it's there to do.
Yes, there's those days where you have just the darkest thoughts imaginable, and I know other people do.
Yeah, of course.
I talk to people, and they're like, have you ever just thought the most awful thing? And I'm like, oh yeah, what are you thinking?
Like, what you got?
Yeah.
See.
Yeah, it's like you can't control your thoughts. You can control your actions, but
yes.
Sometimes stuff that pops in there, and I'm like, no. No.
No, you dare. Not. Don't you dare. Sir, it's 1 p.m, sir. Don't you even know?
Yeah, well,
I get
yeah,
it.
But you haven't had a drink in years. Is this a problem, Dave?
Dave, you've been sober for a deck. Where is this coming from? Oh, that's funny. That is so funny. But I think that in diagnosing this, I think successful comedians are just people who know how to, like, deal with their own mental illnesses, okay? Meaning we know how to make fun of them and deploy them or at least harness them. And I think then maybe the people dive-bombing comment threads and trying to destroy us, you know, are just people who are not harnessing the thing and working hard. And I guess it's probably easier to just nuke you and me. But that's the point I'm trying to make to people is, like, you could never be as harsh on us as we are on ourselves.
No, and you can't. And for me, it's like, what are you going to do that's worse than what's already happened to me that got me here? Like, that's the part that I don't get. It's like, my life was pretty dark to make me go, you know what? I want to stand on stage and humiliate myself for money. You know, it's like it's one step below stripper. Because at least you know she's exercising. I mean, you know, most of the time, depending on where you go. But yeah.
your family actually tells people you're stripping. They're like, the comedy? He's not a comedian. What are you talking about?
No, go ahead. I mean, people definitely come to see you.
Yeah.
We've all been in the situations where comedy just shows up.
We're actually
and ruins everyone.
Ruins
evening.
Everything. But we're actually below strippers. You want to know why? And I'll tell you why. Strippers.
Oh, of course we are.
Yeah, of course. And I know here's another reason why. You know how strippers do that thing where they tell a guy they're dating them, but they only hang out at work? You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, I like, yeah, we should hang out next Saturday night. What are you doing? The guy's like, oh, yeah, great. She's like, all right, yeah, come by. I'm working. Now, you're obviously not dating that stripper, but there's an allure, and the people will continue to show up to her workplace under the premise that she's dating them. And on a given night, a good stripper has 10 of those guys in the audience. Now, we don't get that as comedy. We don't get that. No one is showing up under the auspices that we're dating, and they've been tricked into only hanging out with us by paying us. That doesn't exist for us, does it?
No, of course not. And if one thinks that they're dating you, she's very dangerous. Like, she's shown up, and she's there to kill you.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, we have girls that come to every show, but I'm not saying it's with our well-being in mind.
No, and it's not anybody you'd want. Aww. You're just like, oh, see, do you see the girl with one eye and the hook? Yeah, that girl's been following me online and thinks we both have a poodle for some reason. And like, yeah, I've been stalked. That's the best part. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that I've ever. That's the biggest fan I've ever had.
Oh,
is someone
funny.
Who wants to wear my skin.
But that is
and
commitment.
I'm sure it was a guy.
Yeah, no, I know. But you think of it this way, though. If they really want to make a jacket out of your skin, though, the level of work and craftsmanship that takes does reflect a passion that all artists are hoping to inspire in their fans. However, they just want it deployed probably better, for better use.
Of course. Yes, of course.
Because there is that other part of you. But since we're on the topic, and we're clearly not, can we just speculate rampantly for 3 or 4 minutes on Kate Middleton? Is she around? Kennedy gave me rumors. Let me just give you the rumors Kennedy gave me. She writes for the Daily Mail. I'm just going to give you my Kate Middleton rumors, and you go wherever you want with them, because I don't have an answer. But generally, when I talk to you on the radio, because this is so freestyle unscripted, which is why we have 3 lawyers in the studio right now standing over the dumb button at any one time.
Should I say allegedly every time I talk?
If you could just say allegedly or pin it to another source besides Fox, we'd appreciate it greatly. You know, so one of the things I heard on Newsmax this morning during my commute, Dave.
Go on. Yeah, right. I was reading the New York Times, and this happened.
And by Kennedy, I mean Robert Kennedy Jr., just so we're clear. I don't know why you'd associate it with some other Kennedy when I say the word Kennedy. I'm clearly, you're a Lions fan. I was talking about Cortez Kennedy, the football player.
Yeah, just so clearly.
Former 90s great for the Detroit Lions, which, by the way, is not a term you hear often, 90s great for the Detroit Lions.
I was just going to say, what 2 great pulls by you, by the way. Somewhere somebody's telling him, listen, someone talked about you today.
It's actually a big deal. Someone is getting into the back of his Uber and being like, turn on 98.3. They're actually talking about you.
Oh, yeah, wake up. You're not going to believe it. Seriously. Just
amazing.
Sitting next to 3 beer cans. Allegedly.
So give me this really quick. I'm dying. I got to hold it together. Okay. There is a rumor, okay, that Prince William cheated on her with another woman, knocked her up, and she has had a mental breakdown, which would be understandable given the circumstances, and has lost a considerable amount of weight that the family is attributing to abdominal surgery. Now, conceivable, is that not? I mean, that's not aliens are hanging out in Maine. I mean, that's conceivable, is it not?
I have heard that rumor, and I do think there's a possibility of it, but I feel like, aren't there people that are going to be following her?
I would think.
So it could be somebody who's close to them, because they do like to keep it in the family. So there could be, if she's going to cheat, maybe she did it the right way and it was with somebody who was related.
So it's a home game. You're saying
it's
was a
home
game.
Okay,
so it's conceivable.
He's already strayed a little far from the pond already.
Yeah,
they don't like that.
So
like, they're gonna have a baby that can see straight.
Yeah. Well, here's that. That is something Kennedy brought up, is that the family on his side, like him having a side chick, when you think about how insatiable the mother was, with all due respect, and certainly the other bloodline. Like, if you know anyone knows anything about Prince Philip, if you had him on your fantasy team, he was putting up a lot of points in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, probably the 90s when he was in his 80s. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm guaranteed.
Yeah. This guy, he was bird watching a lot for whatever reason. No, honey, I'm not around this week, and I'm going bird watching.
Yes.
You know, a lot of bird watching, which is odd. Like, but you have cataracts. What do you mean? These guys are going bird watching again. This is crazy.
So, like, that's odd. It's weird.
So crazy. And he never invites her for some reason. So there's that. There's there's the possibility that he was catting around. It blew up, you know, in spectacular fashion. Now there is this other, you know, thing that she has been photoshopping her body because she's not well. I mean, that's obviously very possible. I don't think that would be conspiratorial in the sense that it could happen to any of us. So I don't really want to spend time on that. But then there's this.
Yeah, anybody famous.
Yeah, anybody.
Anybody famous.
Uh-huh. But then there's this other thing. There's this other thing that they're using this to distract from some type of negative situation the king happens to be involved in. Do you think there's any world,
Elvis?
Boom! Well, actually, I mean, if we're really gonna keep the lawyers nervous, Kanye West does call himself the king now. If you want to start quoting dialogue that'll get us to commercial faster than we anticipated getting there.
Yeah, there you go.
But I laugh. But I guess my question to you is, okay, by percentage, what percentage of this in your head instinctively is just, you know, she needs a break from the public eye. She had surgery like they told us, and she's just regrouping. What are the odds that that's the case? Would you say that's greater than 50%, or do your instincts tell us it's one of these other wild scenarios we can't and we don't fully know? Where do you think the majority story tells you to go with your horse sense, which is all this is, pure speculation?
I think she was offed. I think she was off, and it's a double.
Uh-huh.
If you even see her, that's why she looks thinner. They just found a double. Probably was an adulterer. That's my guess. You know how she is. She seemed like a real loosey-goosey going into that throne.
Dave's reviews did not necessarily reflect those of the network nor its affiliates. Where did that come from? I didn't hear that. That's weird. Somebody just dropped that clip in.
I mean, allegedly. I mean, allegedly, I hope she's okay. Right now, I guess I can say that without the allegedly part.
You are, we're both allegedly under arrest for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, for some reason. No, I think that something went down.
Yeah.
I honestly do, because who just disappears out of the public eye like that?
Well,
especially when the other ones are always like, I don't want to be in the public eye, but then they do a Netflix show.
It's funny that I said that earlier, too. You get it. Diamond Dave, if this was the last one we ever do, it was the best one. Please know that. I'm kidding.
Thank you.
We're 5 seconds out. I'll text you offline. You're the best.
Oh, the royal family just sent me a limo. We'll
talk, what could go wrong? Good stuff. I'll see you soon.
He's the host you shouldn't get too close to.
A lot of things about me you don't know anything about, Daddy. Things you wouldn't understand. Things you couldn't understand. Things you shouldn't understand.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
How about Dave Landau? Isn't he just the best? It always, you know, find the line, cross it. I mean, listen, he grew up, he'd be the first one to tell you. The old strategy was find the line and snort it. He has come a long way in terms of sobriety. But it's crazier than ever. Go see him do comedy. Go Google Dave Landau. He's just as good of a working comic as there is. He'll be on my show next Saturday night. He'll be on Fox News Saturday night. And we'll just have the absolute best time. It's nobody I like talking to more because we don't care. If you grew up in an era of comedy where, as a fan, you were watching like 80s comedy, you fell in love with comedy because nobody cared. The whole point of being a comedian was you didn't have to care. Okay, and that's the way he performs, the way I perform. So if you want to see me next weekend, we are in Helena, Montana, Friday, Spokane, Washington, Saturday, and we're back here on your radio tomorrow. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a...
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.